It is so weird. It's so weird because like 3 or 4 days, sometimes even a week after I do a show, something will come to me while I'm running or while I'm at the grocery store, and I'll remember something that I left undone, right? I forgot to tie the bow on a knot or something, and something hit me yesterday, and I thought, did I finish this thought? I think I left that undone. How does this stuff just hit me in the middle of nowhere? Sometimes I'll be running. I'll be running down 17th Street. Kaboom. Oh, I think I screwed that up. So did I finish my thought on running through? This is why I thought of it when I was running. I brought up a point about running through the goal, not setting this end thing where your whole life is dedicated to getting to this one point. I was speaking of enjoying the journey, or trying to anyway, and to embrace moments. I've said this to you before, don't waste your time trying to photograph moments because you miss moments. Everybody's trying to record everything. Wait, stop, let's get a photo. In the meantime, you've missed the moment. Hello? Moment's gone forever. But of course, you have an image of it, but the moment itself is gone. You just have an image of you trying to record it. You don't have an image of the moment. You have an image of you trying to record the moment. Do you understand? So it's being where you are. And so when I run, let me complete the thought, close the loop here, close the circuit on this, because it's important for living. This is a living axiom of mine, is that if I'm on a 4 mile run, it's very easy to think that when I'm hit the 4 mile mark, I'm done. And that's literally true. But if I'm end oriented, then it seems interminable, like I never quite get there. And I miss the moment. I miss just thinking about what I'm doing, where I am. So I think of going through that 4 mile. I don't think like, okay, I'm done when I get to the driveway of the house. I need to be willing in my mind to think I'm going to go further. I'm going to keep going. And it does help me slow down too. That's the thing too. Because it's the horse that gets close to the barn, right? The horse always runs faster when it knows it's getting close to the barn. I'm close to the barn. Takes off, you know. No, I don't do that. I think I'm going through, past the barn, past my barn, past my stall, past my little feeder, and that gives me a through mentality, not an end game mentality. I'm not saying we're not supposed to look for the return of Christ. Of course we are. But, you know, of course you can't sit outside and stare up at the sky all day. So we have a through mentality. This really helps when you visit cemeteries. You have a through mentality. I'm going to go through that gravestone and anticipate seeing my loved one again someday. I'm not going to end there, right? It's a through mentality. I hope that makes sense. I hope that helps somebody. Now, I did want to say this about Moses and Abraham. These guys are Israelites. Abraham was a Hebrew. He was not an Israelite. That's true. Thank you. Moses certainly was. And so, these guys, I talked about playing the Israel card, but behind being Israelites, these guys were sons of Adam. So you may feel bad for these Israelites who are getting these bowls poured on them. I'm going to read mainly and get this overview here out of the way. Then we're going to go into details. But as I do read this, you're going to feel bad for all the Israelites that don't get what they long for. Even Moses died not having reached the promised land. But that's okay. I mean, he's one of the good guys. He's of the remnant. Obviously, he's going to walk into the kingdom. But a lot of these Israelites aren't. But behind that, they're sons of Adam. And that's the backstop, really. Of the three cards I told you about the other day, the Israelite card, the Adam card, and the God card. The greatest is the God card, called from before the disruption of the world. That's us. The next greatest card probably is the Israel card. You get in on the two glorious eons that are upcoming. Play your Israel card, you're a member of the remnant. Bang, you're a priest and a king in the 1,000 years, and you're a king. Priesthood retires on the new earth. Priesthood retires because there's no temple on the new earth, you see. So Israel's kings, even though they're not priests. That's a pretty big deal. But the Adam card is the backstop. Everybody has that. Everybody can play the Adam card. And because of the Adam card, those people who hold the Adam card, which is everybody, are going to be reconciled to God, justified, vindicated, saved because of Jesus Christ. Wanted to clear that up. Or really just emphasize that. That's an important point. The God card will never fail an Israelite. I mean the Adam card. Their Israel card will fail them if they're bad Israelites. And these bowls are coming upon bad Israelites. These are for the worshipers of the wild beast. Terrible inflictions here. I'm in verse 2 of chapter 16 of the unveiling. And the first came forth, the first messengers, pours out his bowl into the land, and an evil and malignant ulcer came upon those of humanity, having the emblem of the wild beast, and those worshiping the image. Going to go into detail. Let's move on. Getting an overview here. And the second pours out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood, as if of the dead. And every living soul died which is in the sea. Not just healthy red blood. That would be, hey, turn the waters to blood, but at least it's healthy red blood. It's flowing, it's alive. That would be gross, I admit. But this is worse. The blood of dead people. Okay, can't talk about that anymore, really. Verse 4, and the third pours out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I hear the messenger of the waters saying, just art thou. This is a strange thing to say when you've just turned the rivers to blood. This is not like a third thing anymore, I don't think. Yeah, because we're at the end, the very, very tail end. You might say, well, it's no longer a surgical strike, Martin. You said that God does surgical strikes and that he only afflicts a third of the earth before, a third of the sea, a third of humanity now. Looks as though he's doing the whole thing. And I admit to you, yes, it does look that way. I know I'm getting into details here. I said I wouldn't do it, but I can't help it. Let me read this again. And the third pours out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Let's go back to the sea. And it became blood as if of the dead. Every living soul died, which is in the sea. That sucks, but it's true, I think. I'm not going to try to water it down. And I hear the messenger of the waters saying, this is hard. If you're a messenger of the waters, like that's your thing, that's what you do. You care for the waters, and the waters have been your stomping ground, your badge of honor, your badge of pride. And now it's your job to take your masterpiece and pretty much shred it. Abraham was asked by God to take his masterpiece, Isaac, and shred it. The only way a being can do this, and say the words that this messenger is about to say. Listen to what the messenger, who is fouling the rivers and the streams with blood, is saying. Just are you, who are, who was, benign one, seeing that you judge these, seeing that they shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you give them blood to drink, they deserve it. This is concordant version. They deserve it. This is what the messenger is saying. Well, they deserve it. And even in the midst of this, this messenger calls God the benign one. In the midst of turning all the rivers into blood. Oh, benign one, you're just. You're the one, you're the Elohim. You're the one who is and who was. And it doesn't say who is coming. Did you notice that? Who is and who was, but not who is coming, because he's here. And his presence on the earth is way imminent. It's eminent and imminent. Start it with an E, start it with an I. I don't care. Both apply. But here's the worst crime, is the people on the earth who these rivers have nourished all this time, and the sea has sustained. These are the people who killed your prophets. And that pisses them off. Pisses off the messengers. Yea, Lord Almighty, true and just are your judgments. True and just are your judgments. And they're saying this. This bowls me over as I'm reading this. While the infliction is happening. And here's how it can happen. It's a through thing. Coming back full circle to my through thing. They've been prepared for this afternoon. These messengers have been prepared for the afternoon that they afflict the waters in this way. Wholesale, not just a third, boom. Everything's going down. And we're going to see an earthquake on bowl number 7. Everything's going down right now. No longer a third. Everything's going down. And these messengers have to be through messengers. Yes, they were prepared to do this, to pour out these bowls at this time. But this isn't the end game. It's a process. And they're seeing through to the new earth when everything is revitalized. Everything is refreshed. The streams are flowing again. The grass that was burned is green. You've been through a winter. You folks in the northeast of the United States. And any of you living on the South Pole, listening to my voice from Scott Station at the South Pole, or if you're listening to me from Greenland or Iceland or Point Barrow, Alaska, I need you to remember what winter does. And if you're at the South Pole, you've never seen a summer, you have to come visit me in Fort Lauderdale. But even in Ohio, even in Massachusetts, even in Indiana, spring comes, and it's a miracle how that frozen tundra, how the wasteland, how the ice layers can possibly melt and green can come through. And the way you survive winters in Ohio is you have to have a through mindset. You have to remember that, well, for the last 50 years, spring came, so it's probably going to come again. Well, no one's been through anything like this. But these messengers have been, this is the thing, they know God. These messengers have been hanging around God for eons. These messengers are celestial beings. They're spiritual beings. They have never tasted death. So they have been hanging around God, and they've seen the creation. They've seen the creation through Jesus Christ. Well, no, they haven't. Sorry. Jesus Christ created the messengers. All came into existence through Christ. So Christ created these 7 messengers who are now pouring out these afflictions on the earth. They did witness the creation of the earth, and they witnessed the disruption. That must have been quite the rumble. The first earth was pristine, beautiful. God created it to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18, I think. And so these same messengers, this is my main point, who are pouring out these bowls at the same time, this is what's shocking me here, are saying, just are you who is, who was, benign one, the benign one. You're the benign one as you're killing everything in the sea. Oh, benign one, oh, loving one, oh, just one, killing everything in the sea at the same time. The only way you can do that is if you know who is sending you, if you know your enlister, if you know the capital G God who created all this stuff. You remember the story I told you of my grandpa and the turtle? I stepped on a turtle when I was a kid. I was 8 years old. I was crying my eyes out. It was a little pet shop turtle. And my grandfather was at my house at the time. And I cried into his lap. I said, Grandpa, I killed a turtle. And I said, Grandpa, what are turtles made of? He said, turtle material. Greatest answer ever. Turtle material. In other words, there's plenty more where that came from, kid. And this is what God is saying. And I think this is what the messengers know. There's plenty more where that came from. We're following this water, this particular water, these particular starfish, this particular shrimp, this particular shamu, or killer whale. But this particular killer whale will raise again. And the shrimp will come back. I don't know what form it's going to be in, but all soul life will be given a spiritual body. It won't necessarily need water again. It's no problem. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, what happens to them? They rise back up from the dead, do they not? Sure, the inhabitants of Sodom, Jesus said, will rise to judge this generation. So they're coming back. So how difficult is it for God to raise people from the dead? It's easy for him. He did it with Lazarus in a word. Sorry, three words. Lazarus, come forth. Piece of cake. Lazarus came out of the grave. He had to say Lazarus's name or every grave on the earth would have emptied. If he had simply said, come forth, everybody comes forth and it's a horror. It's a mess. I think. I don't know. It might be great. Sure. Why not? But he wanted one guy at that time. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. Love that truth. Love the truth of how easy it is for God to bring a new sea, a new water, a new ocean, cleanse it. He can turn it to blood in a second. He can take away the blood in a second. It's no big deal. We can't do it. We have to send a cleanup crew. We spill oil and it takes us months. A little tiny oil spill takes us months to clean it up. We have to get sponges and big floaty noodles, and it's just ridiculous. God, it's no problem. These messengers know that, which is why they can foul the waters and at the same time say, just are you, benign are you, we love you, you're great, it's no problem, because we're looking through it.